Hello, BFF Spawn Funny Friends. Yes, if you're hearing us, yes. It's another episode.
It's another episode with Georgia McCudden.
G'day, it's McCudden.
Georgia McCudden.
She's our first Irish guest.
You know, this is a true story. It's a little peek
behind the curtains.
Nathan and I do these interviews all different times. We have the radio show. We also have this podcast. You know, sometimes we might do a few in a week. Sometimes it'd be one a month. Like, it always changes.
Sometimes Jared, producer Jared, will book them like 6 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah, and we come in early. We might have a whole bunch of stuff. And this day with Georgia, I didn't get a chance to read the sheet. We have these sheets
that
Jared preps. And sometimes I know our guests, and not just Born Funny, it might be the radio show. I know someone, sometimes I don't. I didn't know Georgia, but I also didn't read the sheet.
No.
So I went in with just, that was like,
full blind. You're finding out stuff as you're reading it.
Exactly.
To be fair, I thought that was quite nice because you're finding out in real time. It was interesting when you're like, she's in YouTube. She does social media. No way.
To be fair. And then I'm trying to read the sheet because it's in front of me as we're doing the interview. But there is one point where she's like, I wrote a book. And I was like, what?
What do you mean?
So this interview is...
Producer Jared's outside going, turn the page over.
Yeah.
It says it on there.
Didn't get there. But I really enjoyed this one.
Yeah.
Because I felt like I was a listener.
You're playing the role of a listener.
We're one of the Born Funny Friends.
Yeah.
I was like, just sitting here going, look at you two.
Anyway, Ivan. Enjoy episode 35 with... Georgia McCudden.
Ah, funny people. An odd bunch, really. Not your usual folk. They've been making us knee slaps since the ancient Greeks. But what makes these real-life jesters tick? Perhaps today we should ask this person.
Georgia McCudden.
Tell me, were you born funny?
No. Short answer is no, I do not.
What's the long answer?
We're about to find
Now, please get the round of applause ready for a quirky, relatable comic content creator that started her YouTube channel at just the age of 13.
Great alliteration from you, buddy.
Comic content creator.
Really good.
She has reached has a reach of more than 2 million people, a Nickelodeon Kids Choice Awards winner, and her very own Spotify original podcast with her sister Lily. Do you still have that?
You've done your research, boys.
Still not done.
You're clapping yourself.
Wait. I'm clapping you for doing the research.
She's occurred more than 300 million total views across YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, establishing herself as one of Australia's leading online influencers, recently stepping away from YouTube, focusing more on TikTok and Instagram. Please welcome to the show the bloody hilarious Georgia McCudden, or a.k.a. Georgia Productions!
Georgia!
Is that pretty good? That's right.
Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah.
Out of all the intros that you've ever had, if you've had an intro before, what did you think of that one?
That was the best one. Just short and sweet. Yeah. Not beating around the bush. It was good.
Yeah. Some numbers there.
It felt long. I don't know. Short and sweet's nice, though. Yeah, it's better.
It could have gone longer.
Yeah.
Born and raised in Newcastle, New South Wales. So for own video making, his Christmas present received in 2012.
First thing I want to do.
Wait, what? What did you say?
Did you start making videos when you got a laptop given to you at Christmas?
Not for Christmas. That was actually for my school.
God
it was my
damn
school
you,
laptop.
Jared.
Jared, I look like an idiot.
It was for school.
She
doesn't
Christmas.
Celebrate Christmas.
We got, yeah. I don't.
not anymore. It's a big plot twist from taking Christmas away from you.
Not anymore. Not after that comment. No, I got a laptop. Like, do you remember the big fat white MacBooks? Like the
thick boys.
The first ever
they
type
sort of
MacBook.
Curved on the edges.
They curved on the edges,
I think
yeah.
I still have one. It's that one. That's
one you still use.
And they were heavy as hell, and you'd use it for 20 minutes, and it would go like really, really hot.
Hot.
Yeah. And burn your lap. Yeah.
You could knock someone out with those. They're so heavy.
You could. That was my first laptop, and I got it for school.
Yeah.
I could barely walk with it in my bag. I was tiny, you know, just.
Was tiny. Now she's huge. She's 7'8", if you didn't know.
She has back issues from carrying that early Mac.
yeah, the early version of MacBook. Like, whose idea was that? Like, yeah, let's get a bunch of tiny year sevens and give them this massive laptop that weighs like 70 kilos to put in their bag along with their textbooks.
Yeah. There's too many books for kids. Yeah. Why does kids that young need that many books?
Oh, why do you need, you don't read
I didn't have a computer.
No, you didn't. You didn't have school, though.
No. The bush raised me.
The textbooks were ridiculous, though, weren't they?
They were a little bit.
And it's so expensive. Sorry, I just sound like a parent, but
they were.
Which I'm not.
I fell over at the bus stop once, like getting out of the bus, and I fell over backwards.
Oh,
and
no.
It was the one day I decided to do my like straps up really tight around my arms, and I felt like a turtle on its back. I couldn't actually get
Back up.
Yeah.
And she's still there.
Yeah, we're interviewing her from that bus stop as we speak. George, I want to apologise because, I mean, before we get into the meat of this, you had some issues getting in here because you have driven over 2 hours, 2.5 hours to get here.
Oh, yes.
That is wild.
God, yeah. Wow. It added 20 minutes on the GPS because I went through the wrong tunnel, but, you know.
Well, I mean, whose fault is that?
Sounds like user error. Yeah.
Don't have Google Maps on your Mac?
Yeah, Google Maps said turn left. Ah, I was right. Got ya.
So thank you for making the big commute. And I'm sorry that didn't.
No problem.
How'd you go with the parking? The parking can be a bit of an issue here.
It was absolute
shit out.
Shit. Yeah, it was. I couldn't find the, like, did they want to make the sign for World Square Parking, like, any smaller? Like, trying to get through that little ramp, like I drove past it three times, and if you drive past it, it takes, let's guess, 20 minutes to go back around to go down the ramp again.
Oh, because you have to exit and come back in, is that what?
No, it's all one way, remember?
If you miss the ramp, it's all one way, you gotta go around, and I went around three times.
Get the bus in next time.
Yeah.
Uber. How much is an Uber from Newcastle to Sydney? George, forgetting the laptop that you didn't get for Christmas and got for school, what's your earliest memory of entertaining people? Maybe not making people laugh, but, like, do you have a memory where you went, oh, everyone's looking at you, you have everyone's attention?
doing a dance for Mum and Dad when I wanted to sleep over at a friend's house. Okay. Do you remember doing that?
Was that used to convince them to?
Yeah, to have a sleepover at a friend's house.
So was it like you could only sleep over if you dance?
Actually, no, you do it as like a performance to like ask them.
Yeah, to ask them.
A performative piece.
Okay, I thought it was like offer and accept, you know what I mean? Like a contract.
But actually, now that you say that, I do remember making a video. Like I remember finding my dad's old, like, VHS recorder. Remember the ones that used to flip out so like that?
Good. The side, yeah.
You used to hold it on the side.
Yeah. Like the Mean Girls mum.
Yeah. And my parents are having dinner with two of our family friends that also had two daughters. And we started making this video because we loved the show iCarly. This was like back in 2007, '08.
Yeah.
And we thought, like, this is great. Let's make our own little web show. So we pretended that people were sending in us dares, and we called ourselves the Daredevils.
Nice.
And we pretended people were sending us in dares, and we'd do the dares at my friend's house, and we ended up showing the adults at the end of the night, and we thought it was just brilliant, but they couldn't stop laughing, and we thought
it was more of a serious thing?
Yeah.
Oh, you're doing serious dance?
No, it wasn't, this wasn't the dance, but this was just like, this was a whole different thing. This was us making a video called The Daredevils, but that was my first memory of like
What were the dares? What were you doing that people didn't write in? So you've obviously just gone, we'll do this.
Yeah, they were quite creative, honestly.
Like what, eating challenges, physical challenges?
Yeah, there was one. Oh, what was it? We started with 10, and then we didn't have any time because it was like 9:30, you know, time for bed. Yeah. So we had to like
10 is a lot.
Yeah. So we had to like take it down to 8 or something, but one of my friends got dared, quote unquote, to put on like all of her underwear in her drawer on her legs and head and arms and just jump on the trampoline. But back when you were 8, that was hilarious. That was funny.
And the parents
just thought it was hilarious. They just loved it. Yeah.
So did you keep doing that, or was that like a one-time?
It was a one-time thing.
That's actually blew up on YouTube.
It's on YouTube.
Is it? Oh, no, it's not.
Yeah, I reacted to it years and years ago. Oh. But yeah.
Wow.
They burnt it on a disc because they just found it hilarious.
Okay, so you do the videos, you do the dare videos, and then you're showing the parents. They're laughing.
Mm.
How did that make you feel when they were laughing? Even though the point wasn't for them to laugh, but did it make you feel like you'd created a product? I mean, I know you're only 8, but like, did it make you feel good when they were laughing?
Yeah, it did, and it made me feel like I want to be funny. Like this is really, I love this.
Do you reckon that might have been the moment that you decided you wanted to be funny?
Probably because we filmed it on a VHS, we literally just hooked it up to the TV and we didn't know how to delete footage as we go. So there was so many bits where we'd stop recording like, no, Sophie, do it again, no. And like our little sisters would come in and we'd be shutting the door like, get out, we're filming. And that's kind of what made it so funny because all of them were in there and my friend Kate's going, don't worry, look, I can edit it out. Didn't know how to do that. So
that they were the bits that everyone was laughing at, those bits.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
And it was kind of like, well, that's kind of what made it so funny. And I look back at that and I'm like, yeah, I'm so glad that all was still in there. It's hilarious.
So what did you do any other like video or anything between that and when you got the MacBook, the world's heaviest MacBook? Were you doing any video stuff or were you just...
It's still at the bus stop on the ground. It's like Thor's hammer. No one can lift it up.
Only if you're worthy to create video content. Yeah. May you lift this bag.
Georgia and Tim Cook are the only ones that can lift that up.
So were you doing anything? Like what? So you were eight, did you say, around eight when you were doing the dare videos? How old were you when you made the videos on the Mac?
12.
So 4 years of...
4 years to develop your comedy.
4 years of like, I actually was a very outdoorsy kid. I didn't even know what YouTube was until year eight, actually. So 2013.
Yeah.
Were you playing sport? What were you doing?
Yeah, like I was good at gymnastics and I loved like riding bikes and outdoors and everything. I just didn't really care about like screens or online stuff.
Yeah.
But I do remember making claymation stuff with Play-Doh, like taking photos and very, very crap. But no, there wasn't anything in between that. It was pretty much just 8-year-old Georgia making that, and then it went to 12-year-old Georgia like finding this thing called iMovie on my laptop, and I was like, "This is cool."
How good was iMovie?
Yeah, I loved it. And that's where it started. That's so.
What about in primary school? Like, were you a bit of a class clown? Were you loud? Were you more reserved? What were you like there?
I definitely tried to be, but I was not funny. Like, I was really not funny. You know how Ed Sheeran had that, like, interview and he showed everyone how, like, he wasn't good at singing? Yeah. And he was like, look, this is, like, I actually had to teach myself.
Yeah.
That's what it was like for me. Like, I was not a funny kid.
Or you tried to be?
I think, there was one stage where I thought, I was like, God, I'm funny because mum and dad think I'm funny. but, no... It was more something that I feel like am I making the chair squeak?
No, not at all.
I think Nate's coughing off mic.
No, sorry.
Yeah. It looks like he's looking down. Yeah. The chair again.
But if that chair does squeak one more time, this is
no, <sorry. clears
throat> Yeah, no, I'm actually coughing to be like, stop.
No, I wasn't very funny. No.
So why was it just out of curiosity you're mucking around with videos? Like what kind of stuff were you making originally on iMovie?
sorry, I just remembered.
Funny faces.
I just remembered something. Yeah, I was making like, what would you call it? Like talking to the camera, like 25 facts about me and
oh, like
stuff
piece like
that.
Like piece to camera.
Yeah, kind of like okay. Or tags. But originally I started making short films. I made this stupid short film called Temple Run. And it was back in 2013 and I just filmed it in the bush out the back of my house. I like edited all these like Temple Run coins in the video and
like the game.
Yeah. So I started kind of making kind of short film stuff and not really talking in them, but then it started to become more of like, oh, I want to talk to the camera. But this was around the time when I thought my confidence was getting a bit better and I was like, I want to try to be funny.
Yeah.
And I remember like I remember in class, this was year eight at a Christian high school, by the way.
Great.
We were sitting in science class and my teacher was like teaching us about the digestive system and I wasn't really paying attention. I wasn't a very good listener ever. And I was sitting at the front of the class and he just kind of said like, all right, any questions? And I just put my hand up and he's like, yeah, Georgia. And I just said, and this was dead silent. There was no kind of, we hadn't watched a funny video. It was just the tone in the room was not the setting for this. I've just put my hand up. Don't know where this has come from. And I've just gone, well, my dad said, if you don't eat, you don't shit. And if you don't shit, you die. I said that at a Christian high school in year eight. I was 13. And the teacher's just like, okay. Thank you for that, Georgia. All right, moving on. And I genuinely felt like I was like, I want to dig a hole and just crawl into it.
Was that you trying to be funny? Or
yes.
Were you doing like a water boy mama said situation?
No, yeah. I was trying to be funny. I was genuinely.
Did people laugh?
No one laughed. It was
I think it's pretty funny. I liked it.
But we were 13 and the word shit was very like.
Still, and you're in a Christian school as well.
I was in a Christian school too. Yeah. I was like, oh God. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. And I genuinely just felt like, I was like, I just want to pass away right now. And so I don't think I.
God, come and take me.
Yeah. And I was like, well, that's going to need some work. That one's going to need some work.
So by that now on TikTok. Yeah.
So you bombed your first stand-up is what you're
saying.
That
was pretty, yeah. Yeah, I did.
That was your first stand-up set.
Couldn't read the room at all.
When did you start uploading stuff to YouTube?
Yeah, 2013. So around that time.
Around that time. Yeah. And what were they? Were they still the pieces of camera? Was it the temper run video? Was it?
It was a bit of everything, really. Yeah. Little music videos that look like little video stars.
Also,
video
did star. a bit of everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
She can sing, she can dance, she can act.
Yes.
She can't do jokes in science. Yeah. Right.
No, I can't. No. Yeah.
Mm. Okay. So were you, so obviously you had that, you know, that creative drive to want to do that. Because you were trying so many different things, were you just trying to look for something that you enjoyed, or you genuinely wanted to do bits of everything?
I genuinely wanted to do bits of everything. Okay. I used to watch tutorials. Actually, this is my like first kind of memory of YouTube. I used to watch tutorials of like how to edit things, like edit like a water bubble and edit like, I actually really loved like behind the scenes stuff, and I still do.
Yeah.
I'm a bit of a nerd for that. And then it just kind of, as I started uploading stuff, I noticed that my videos where I would just sit and talk to the camera and try to be funny would get more views. And it actually used to really frustrate me because I used to spend so much more time editing these videos in like Premiere Pro and stuff.
Yeah. Putting heaps of work into them. Yeah.
And then people are like, when's the next Ask Georgia? Like, when are you going to do a funny one? And like, I was like, okay, all right. Like, maybe this is just throw the towel in. All right. This is what they want from me. I'll give it to them. Yeah, I'll give the people what they want.
How much of a balance, I mean, just to step forward into what you were saying there, how much of a balance is it between the content you want to create and also the content that's being demanded by the fans who want things like Ask Georgia? Like, how do you find the balance?
Demanded. That's so funny you say that because I had like 400 subscribers back then. It was like two people. And I remember commenting back to them. They'd be like, when are you uploading your next video? Just being nice. Literally just being nice and being like, I miss your videos. When are you uploading? I'd be like, I've got school. Like, and I'd get so angry at them because they would ask to like, you know, they'd be impatient. Like, you haven't uploaded in ages. I'm like, yeah, well, I got school and homework. And like, I didn't kind of understand that was them supporting me. Like,
yeah. But what about now? You know, now when you're making content across Instagram and TikTok and stuff, like, what's the balance between something that you want to create and also the demand from people who want you to do certain things?
Well, now it's a whole different world. It's a whole different like algorithm. Well, there used to be not really any kind of algorithm. Used to be just like, you subscribe to a channel and you saw those videos. Now it's you subscribe and
you
probably don't see those videos anymore. You see the recommended page and everything else. It's kind of like trends is something that I feel like is what everyone wants to see or what the algorithm is pushing. And sometimes the videos that I really want to make do really well. And then other times it's like, oh damn, like this 15-second like sound, if I use that, it's going to go better.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you feel like, just to skip ahead for a bit, like your content change in terms of like your, I don't know if it was a conscious choice, but you're making content sort of for your own age group and then, younger people, and then you got older.
Aged out of it.
And you aged out of it. And so you're like, I want to make something else now.
Yes, definitely.
Was that hard? Was it a conscious choice? Like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, it's not, I'm not enjoying it.
It was kind of a conscious choice, but kind of just like, I just grew up. I matured. When I was 17, 18, that's kind of when YouTube kicked off. That's when it actually became my career. I never actually had a part-time job. I went straight from high school to YouTube.
Yep.
So I didn't really have any kind of exposure when it comes to
most kids are going to Macca's.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't even do that.
How many followers did you have at 17, 18?
I think about 70K.
Yeah,
But that was just on YouTube. And it was at least 100,000 when I left school. And then in 2018, it grew really rapidly. And then I wrote a book, The Amazingly Disorganized Help Dictionary. It was a little book for like kids with ADHD or preteens. And my content was definitely for for kids and preteens, like people around, like, yeah, it was for kids like around 7 to like 13, I think. That was my like main demographic. I didn't swear. I didn't kind of, you know, insinuate any like crass jokes. I don't know. I stayed away from that stuff, but that wasn't like something that my parents ever wanted me to do. I just didn't find that stuff funny because
yep.
I was so young. I was 17, 18 and I hit puberty really late. So like I developed a bit later, but around 19, 20, 21, that's when I was like, okay, I'm getting really sick of like pretending that I don't swear now. I'm getting really sick of like trying to make things for an audience that say I don't like resonate or relate to anymore.
Yeah.
So I started to, yeah, just be myself and relax a bit more into the content. And so now a lot of people will come up to me and they will say like, I grew up with you, because it's not just like, I didn't just keep my content young.
Yeah.
Kind of like the Harry Potter series.
Yeah. You know, she got just, dark after like the third
she
book.
She got darker, yeah.
She got real dark.
She
Chamber of Secrets was shit scary, man.
After yeah. Really?
Yeah.
It was a big snake. The second one.
Yeah. I think it was the second one. Yeah.
I got scared after the fourth. Was that Goblet of Fire?
I reckon 2020 was my Prisoner of Azkaban. That was the Prisoner of Azkaban of YouTube, Georgia Productions. That was when I dropped the first S-bomb and everyone freaked the fuck out. Like, I remember getting a comment from a kid being like, I'm not allowed to watch you anymore.
Oh.
You said the B word and Mum said I'm not allowed to watch you. And I got so many comments like that. And I remember feeling a bit guilty, but I was also like,
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Like, for God's sake, like these kids, like some of them, I'm like, these kids need to go outside.
Yeah.
Like, have you, surely you've never, like, you've definitely heard that word before.
Of course you would have.
Would have been funny if they were like, you've said the S word and you replied with fuck off.
Yeah. I was tempted.
Here's a new one for you.
Yeah. Fuck off.
You think S is bad? You little effing.
Here's a new one for you.
Hey, it's Audio Bones here. And if you want to win yourself a prize this week, the code word this week is the memo emoji. So head to the Jimmy and Ape Instagram page, find this week's Born Funny video, and comment that emoji under it.
What about, you know, when you started being yourself, when you started to, you know, be Georgia and you'd put the swear words in and all that kind of stuff, did you find creating content easier? Was it easier to put stuff out?
Yeah. I don't know. It wasn't easy, but it definitely felt more natural.
Yeah.
It felt more natural. It just felt like, I was just being myself and not trying to like put a filter up.
Yeah. How does it feel, you know, 17, 18 years old to release a book? 50,000 copies sold.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Like, what were your...
Pretty insane.
Your friends and family, are they all going, what is this? Who is this wonder kid that we have?
Friends, there was some very... I had some really supportive friends at school, but a lot of them didn't actually talk to me about it. A lot of them didn't congratulate me. A lot of them... It was kind of like a... I don't know how to explain it. They just didn't really acknowledge what I was achieving.
Yeah.
But this was also after school. So this was 2018 when I've left school. But it was almost like because I was achieving something so insane, I think that it was a bit weird to them. And I kind of look back at that now and I understand that. And I'm like, I kind of wouldn't know what to ask either.
Yeah.
But my family were always so, so supportive. Like, my mum and dad have always been so supportive. And but it was really, really strange. It was strange as an 18-year-old to go to, like, a shopping centre and have, like, over 1,000 people lining up to meet you. And I honestly didn't even – I had, like, 300,000 subscribers at that point, but just my engagement was
through the roof.
Insanely huge. And so I think a lot of my friends just didn't know what to say about it, and I guess there was a little bit of jealousy there.
Yeah.
But I didn't know, I guess, how cool that was. I really didn't. And I think that I didn't know how to kind of comprehend it. So there might have been a few times where I came across as a bit big-headed or something. I don't know, to friends.
But also, I mean, so young to have such success and to release a book and have thousands of people there, like the pressure on you must have been tremendous. Like, were you feeling the pressure or were you kind of just caught up in the Disneyland of it all?
Definitely feeling the pressure after the first book signing, because I actually wasn't expecting, I didn't know what to expect. I thought, oh my gosh, if 50 people show up, this is going to be insane. Yeah. Like, but I walked in and everyone was screaming, and I was standing there for 6 hours signing books and hugging people and taking photos, and it drained me so much. I even had like a, I did like a little run around the store or wherever it was.
Yeah.
And this mum grabbed my arm and was like, "My daughter's had open heart surgery 3 times. Please stop and get a photo. We've waited for 6 hours." Like, she was so angry at me. And I, because they had come really late, but I'd done as much as I could. It was 6 hours, and I'm pretty sure I met pretty much everyone, but they just didn't want to wait in line like everyone else. But that kind of pressure was a lot. I had a lot of rude parents, like, kind of giving me, you know, I had a lot of rude parents. I had a lot of times where I felt like a bit of an object. And but honestly, the pressure was really good because, like, I don't know how to explain it. It was insane, and I cried so much afterwards. I was like, that was so overwhelming. That was too much. But if anything, it just, like, kind of brought me out of my little comfort zone.
Yeah.
And but it is weird to kind of look back at that now and go, I don't think, like, me being 24, I don't think I've ever really experienced anything, like, on that level again. And I don't know if I will. And that was a really tough thing to, like, accept.
Yeah.
Because most of my friends are, like, getting into their careers now. Like, they're only just getting into their careers. They've studied at uni for years, and they've, like, they're finally getting their dream jobs. And it's, like, it's weird when you feel like you peaked at 18. It's just strange.
Did you have anyone protecting you in that sense? You know, when you're 18 years old, I don't know if you, I'm assuming.
Like security guard?
Security or a manager or someone like that. Like, when you've got that many people, like, it's, I mean, you've already mentioned how supportive your parents are and stuff, but was there a professional network around you that was protecting a young Georgia with all these people?
I didn't actually have a management at that point.
Wow.
Amplify, who I'm with now, weren't even created. I was one of the first people they signed. And it was just mum and dad. And I had like a few security guards, but even they didn't know what they were dealing with because we didn't know what to expect. So there was only like one security guard when there should have been a lot more. And, but I didn't really have that kind of protection, no, because no one knew what to expect, and the books like sold out so quickly that it just ended up being a meet and greet and just stuff like that. That wasn't like, we didn't know what to expect, so we're kind of understaffed.
Yeah.
Wow. So, at school, like in high school, like what are you thinking? Are you thinking this is your career? Because you went to uni as well, didn't you?
No.
Did you go to uni?
No, I went straight from school to YouTube.
So, you didn't, did you think like, oh, I'm going to have to study this or get a job? Or like, at what point, like, were you like, I'm just going to go to YouTube?
I did.
What were your parents saying to you? Were they trying to get you to go to do something?
I did actually go to TAFE during school. So I did like my units during school.
Yeah.
And I got a Cert 4 in digital media. So I did actually do something.
Yeah.
But no, my parents were fully supportive. They were a bit like, at first they were like, "Are you sure you don't want to just, I don't know, put your resume into Hoyts or something? get a little side job." But at that point, I was already getting recognized, and I just didn't want to be behind the counter at Hoyts being like, "Yeah, like, enjoy your movie." And then, like,
subscribe too.
I think at that point, I was like, "Mum, just can I try to see how this goes? But if it doesn't, I'll put a bloody resume into Hoyts. All right, I'll do it."
Yeah.
No, they were so supportive of it. They were really, they could see it going somewhere. And especially after the book tour, they were like, "Never mind.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Were you prepared or for it not to work? Did that ever cross your mind? Or because, you know, there was so much success so quickly, like it never crossed your mind? Was there a moment when you're like, "Oh, maybe I should put my resume into Hoyts"?
I'm going to be honest. No, there wasn't that moment. I think I got really lucky when it comes to this. I know that these days it's really hard to get your name out there on YouTube, especially. Like, if someone asked me, like, "Hey, I'm thinking of starting YouTube. What do you think? What do you think?" I'm like, "Don't fucking bother." Honestly, like, just these
she
days.
Said, fuck.
I can't listen to this podcast
anymore. I'm going
to
comment under our own podcast for my personal.
Yeah, fucking bitch said fucking you, fuck.
Georgia.
I'm just subscribing.
I'm actually leaving this show. Yeah. I'm a host and I was offended.
Jared, I didn't think we booked a potty mouth.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Good. I didn't think you were that type of person.
Thought we had a good Christian girl on this podcast.
What would your school think now?
Oh, God. What would they think?
Well, I mean, that's actually a good question. What did they think, you know, when things were going nuts?
They were so supportive.
Yeah.
They actually, it was my, I've told this story so many times, but it was actually my middle school principal, Graham. And I actually had lunch with him like the other day because
Shout out to Graham.
He's just such a loving man. he was the one who actually encouraged it. Like he saw that I was making videos because my teacher told him, and she was like, they're really funny. Like, she's got a little knack for it. And he actually was like, can you make like a video for me for this teacher conference I have on the weekend? And like, you can, you know, come along. And he would give me these little like things to do. And I came along, and I remember sitting in the audience and watching all the teachers like laughing at my video. And I was like, this is what I want to do. Like, this is so, I love this feeling. Like, yeah. I'm such an attention whore. and it was just so, it was really incredible. And he really, really encouraged me. And he actually sat me down and was like, George, there's this thing called YouTube. Have you heard of it? And I was like, no, not really.
No way.
And he was like, you should put them on YouTube. And that was, he is genuinely the reason that I have started, that I started. So
wild.
Yeah, shout out to Graham.
Shout out to Graham.
I'll tell you what, though, all those teachers laughing at your video, you should have passed around a little hat. Everyone put some coins in or something. You could have made,
yes!
Could have made some bloody... All these teachers getting bloody freebies.
Yeah. he'd just give me these, like... So he's like, I need this video for this teacher conference. Can you make this funny? Like, just for, like, introducing these new school rules or something. And I would make the video, and he was like, this is just brilliant. This is going to go really well. And then... But yeah, no, they were always so supportive.
You know what, Graham, we love you, but George is sending an invoice.
Where well, maybe was he's my sending bloody...
one. I mean, he told us.
Actually, that's true.
Careful.
I never saw a dime.
I never saw nothing. I started up. Georgia Productions is me. It's Graham Productions.
I am Georgia Productions.
I created you. I can create you again.
Settle down, Graham.
I am the real GP.
You know, you said at the start, we asked you, you're born funny. You said no.
No.
You getting a lot of laughs, you know, through those videos and the book tour and stuff. Is there a moment you felt you were funny?
Yes. I think it was definitely the book tour.
Yeah?
I was like,
meeting people and...
Yeah, and just so many kids crying when they met me.
Yeah.
And just, like, telling me how much my videos meant to them and... How, you know, they'd be having a really bad day at school or they're getting bullied and they'd come home and watch my videos and I felt like a comfort person, just stuff like that. And I cried a lot too. Like, it was so overwhelming for me, and I still get that reaction to this day, which is insane. I've definitely gotten used to it, like a little bit desensitized. And it's a bit upsetting because, like, I wish I never really got used to it.
Yeah.
But what was I going to say? I was going to say something. Because you asked...
when did you realise you were funny?
Yeah, funny. Like, was there a moment in the book tour? It was definitely
the book tour. But that's what I was going to say about, like, jumping on YouTube at the right time. Like, I genuinely felt like there was these waves and out at sea. And I just, like, hopped on this wave at the right time and started surfing.
Yeah.
And that was around 2013, 14. And it's like... You can't, those waves don't come anymore on YouTube. You know what I mean? Like, so it's gone.
When did you finish on YouTube? Was it?
Literally this year.
This year?
Yeah.
So 10 years?
11 years.
11 years.
11 years.
Talk us through that process. What in the end drove you to?
Did you get long service leave from YouTube?
That's what she's on, mate.
Because 11 years, you have got some holidays.
I mean,
up.
You still get paid for the views that people, because people still watch your videos.
Yeah.
So you still get paid every now and then. Definitely not as much as before.
Oh, like Jerry Seinfeld, you still got the royalties, yeah?
Yeah, you still got the royalties. Yeah.
Checks are just rolling in. Yeah. Talk us through the process of leaving that. Because obviously it changed and you changed, but like it still must have been tough. Like,
and confronting,
Did you flirt with the idea earlier? Like a couple of years ago, you're like, oh man, I wish I could get out. Or
no, I didn't. I loved it. I loved it really? Right until the end. I think I was getting really upset with YouTube kind of, you know, I'd get messages being like, this didn't even pop up in my subscription box. What the hell? And just how much the algorithm changed over time. It went from being for the creators to being for the algorithm. And it used to be about the creators and the consumers. And it used to be like, you saw the content you signed up for, you know, and you didn't really get distracted. There wasn't this recommended feed or these shorts trying to steer you away from what you're watching.
Yeah.
And you used to watch things like crazy concept, right? You used to watch things from start to finish without skipping through.
Yeah.
Crazy. And hey, I still remember this time where I looked up how to put a desk together. I looked up the video, watched the video and closed my laptop. Crazy. Can't do that anymore. Like you open the app and you forget why you're there.
Mm, yeah, exactly.
Like, so the way that it's changed was such a letdown. And I'm not afraid to say that. It's so disappointing the way that YouTube has gone.
No, it's interesting because we spoke to Matt Hay, All Right Hay.
Yeah.
And he told us a very similar story to what happened with YouTube and extension with Facebook as well.
They're trying to keep you on the screen. They're trying to keep you on the app.
And he said that, you know, made him shift over to Instagram and TikTok for the exact same reasons. Mm. Is that a confronting time to move over to a medium and move from a medium that you had so much success on to be like, okay, I now know that I know how to create content that is, you know, absorbed and loved from people, but I'm going to do it over here. Is that a tough call to make?
It was very tough, yeah, because I know a lot of people, some people don't want TikTok for that reason, for the whole doom scrolling. But slowly YouTube was turning into TikTok anyway, or it's turning into the same kind of algorithm. And it was really scary because that was my life. That was where I started. That's at one point, that was my main source of income. It's not anymore. It wasn't for a long time, but it was scary to make that shift because of just how comfortable I was on that platform.
What was the biggest change you had to make to coming over to Instagram and TikTok? Was there one thing in particular? Open a different app, obviously.
Flipping things from landscape to portrait.
It's true. Yeah.
And just getting comfortable with that. Mm. And just being like, you know, just every time I would get, you know, or just, I don't know, ditching my entire camera that I spent a lot of money on.
Of like, course.
Because people, you only use your phone now. Like, I remember back in 2014, I remember watching, I think it was Zoella or something. She was explaining how, like, there was this new vlogging camera. She's not American. Oh my God.
Bad impressions.
Yeah. There's this new vlogging camera. It is the G7X. And she was like explaining this camera.
Yeah.
And she was like, soon enough, we're going to only be needing our phones to vlog. And I was like, oh, that like, hilarious. And now I'm like, no, but that's literally all you need.
That's where we
are. And that's why people don't take this job seriously because my work's on my phone.
Yeah.
Like, that's so lame to say. You know what I mean?
Unless you see a big camera, it's like, well, what do you mean?
Yeah, well, what do you mean? That's not even serious. Yeah, like, you're all cute. You know what I mean? But that was a weird shift, a big change to, like realize that I actually don't need to use my camera anymore. The whole thing where there's now, like, apps that edit for you, the AI, that was a huge change. Like, I haven't even ventured into that because I'm old and I'm like, yeah, that's a bit scary, isn't it? They could find where I live. No, not using that. No, I'm not. I'm still on Final Cut Pro. But yeah, it was that. Those changes are probably the biggest ones. Yeah,
Do you think that, you know, you talked about the wave earlier that you're on and you sort of land on it? Do you think you could have, or anyone could have, the success that you had now, or it's just too hard?
In saying that, I want to ask you a question. Like, in the last 3 years, has there been someone that has just popped up on YouTube that you didn't know of before? Do you know what I mean? That's like created a massive audience.
No,
there hasn't.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think there's your answer. It's like they don't care about like someone creating an audience anymore. It's just about the algorithm, the views accumulating, like having you stay on the app. They don't really care where that is, if that makes sense.
Do you think as well, like, because I agree with you, and you know, I think a lot of the algorithms now are just trying to keep you there as long as possible, yeah, right? And the fact that everyone has their phones, right, so everyone now can do this content, do you think that's just where it's gone? Because like someone just, you know, a random person who never really uploads anything could just film a dog doing something funny and go, I'm going to put that up, right?
10,000
followers. But then the algorithms will just show that to everyone, which keeps you on the feed. So it's not necessarily about creating people anymore, personalities like yourself or channels. It's just about pushing out as much content and keeping people on the app.
Yes. Yeah, 100%. It's like, it's not, we're in this era where everyone can upload anything and anyone can be a content creator. If you have a following, you're considered a content creator. Like, people can fall into the job. People can accidentally become a content creator, stuff like that. Where back when I started, it was like you had to work for, I mean, it took me eight years to hit 1 million subscribers. Mm. And so that was a huge deal when I hit 1 million subscribers. It took me like 1.5 years to hit 1 million on TikTok, if that's putting it in perspective.
Yeah.
So it kind of took the hard work aspect out of it, which is a good thing in a way. But it also means that, there was one point where I didn't like telling people, I didn't like telling people like I'm on TikTok or I'm a TikToker because it didn't sound as professional as YouTuber.
Sure.
So I think that's essentially, actually, what was holding me back from stopping YouTube was like, I just want people to take me seriously as a comedy creator. And when you say the word TikTok, unfortunately, a lot of people don't take that seriously. But yeah, it's still a job, and it's hard.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to talk about the processes of when you're creating content. What is your process? Are you writing stuff down? Are you fleshing stuff out on a big whiteboard, or is it just all off the top of the dome? Is it off the top of the dome?
Freestyling it like a rapper.
I think that it's half-half now. It used to be very much like sit down, script something.
Do you enjoy writing?
I love writing. Sometimes, like, another big change was just getting used to the fact that people don't like watching things over 3 minutes now. Yeah. And so, like,
no one's going to listen to this podcast.
Yeah.
I tuned out minutes ago.
Yeah. I've been on autopilot. Yeah.
We're all of this AI. Yeah. This is all AI.
We're actually all like left the room already.
I tuned out after, and today on the podcast, Georgia McCartney. So the writing, yeah. So it's a bit of half-half.
Sorry, a lot of people did. Like, who the fuck is that? Oh, Georgia Productions. Oh.
Yeah, we know her. Yeah. So what is the process? So it's half-half, yeah? So you used to script a lot, but now obviously videos and the content you're creating is much, much shorter now.
Yeah, and I also think I just got better at being able to just do something off the cuff and like set up my camera and be like, okay, here's an idea. Here's the character I want to do. Like, I did a video the other day, Mum's at a Pink concert. I don't know if you saw that
one. There with the hat.
And that was just improv. So sometimes I'll just set up my camera and just like see what comes out of my mouth.
As opposed to setting up a camera and seeing what goes into it.
Hey, people make money doing that too.
Yeah,
people make more money.
I'm eating honeycomb. Crazy.
I was talking about OnlyFans. I was talking about OnlyFans.
Dicks in mouths.
What?
Which people also pay for money.
Yes, Nath, you're right.
Dicks and twigs. It doesn't matter.
We can put more. Anyway,
whatever. What are they talking about? Who cares? No one's listening.
People tune out at 3 minutes, remember? you got to cut this up into teeps of 3 minute segments.
Little bits. Hey, the whole thing's going on YouTube, said nobody.
Well, we play
part 17.
We play clips of this. I don't know if you know this on our radio show.
Yeah, right?
And so that goes up every night in the show. There's clips, and we were talking to people that like consume the podcast. A lot of people messages on the socials, and we're like you're enjoying it, and some people are like, no, I just listen to the clips on the show.
I know, yeah.
They just get the bite sized bits because also we look for the best bits of it. And usually that's to be like, hey, listen to the full podcast here.
Yes.
People are like, nah.
People are like, no, I don't want to.
Clip's good.
No, I don't want to. Or they'll, like, they end up listening to the whole thing. Or I know people that watch full movies on TikTok. They're like on part 137 because they're just watching it on TikTok and they haven't been bothered to like look it up on Netflix or something. I'm like, why are you watching that?
This literally happened to me this morning. I don't know who he was, but some TikToker, he put 10,000 bath bombs into a pool. And like,
because that's what people want to watch.
And he's like,
walking around with three brain cells.
That's what he did. And he goes, come watch me put all these bath bombs in a pool. I'm like, oh, okay, this is cool. So I'm watching the TikTok. And then ended, and it's like, if you want to see the whole thing, go to YouTube. I was like,
oh, no way. Nah.
I was like, I'll imagine it.
Actually, I've lost interest.
Yeah, I've lost interest. Show me when they go in.
I don't see them anymore, but I used to see them like when someone would tell a story about history or something, and it's like, follow for part two, or they'd leave you on the climax, and I just went, fuck you, nah. Yeah. I never would follow. I'd never even go, because it tells you just watch and you go down. I'm like, I'm not doing that.
It's like
I'm just never going to know them.
I can tell you the only time that I will, I always follow through and I'll always go to the YouTube and watch it, is that
Georgia production.
No, that's Georgia production, but that
correct
that squash,
right answer.
You know the squashing machine?
Oh, hydraulic. Yeah, I love that shit.
I'll watch 10
sit
minutes.
There and I'm like,
you know, she's an Aussie. The original hydraulic press girl is an Aussie, and she's just been given.
I didn't know machines could have genders.
Oh, mate, anything could be anything.
Well, no, there's someone pushing the button.
There is someone pushing the setting up the camera, by the way.
Yeah, she's just been given a, I can't remember where it is. It's in Australia, but there's a museum exhibition of her stuff. So you can go watch
squashing
it.
Squashing all the shit.
Is it
squashing
already stuff. Squashed?
That's a great question.
I had
to follow for part two.
I'll watch 15 minutes of it. Like, I love it. They're going to do a bowling ball.
That's definitely what really bugged me at the end of YouTube was the fact that I really tried to put clips of my work on TikTok and they'd get millions of views on TikTok. Yep. And I put at the end of the video, I even did this thing where I was like, nah, I think I've figured it out. They like TikTok doesn't like the word YouTube. It doesn't like me writing YouTube there.
Yeah.
So I can't use the in TikTok captions to write YouTube. I'll write the captions in Final Cut Pro. And then I realized, nah, it's got too smart for that too, little bloody bugger. It still knows that I'm trying to get people over to YouTube.
Yeah.
So then I realized I've got to create my own font. So it doesn't recognize the cuticle, scan it and see that I've written YouTube. So I literally made my own GIF of YouTube and put it in the end of a TikTok saying, watch full video on YouTube as a little GIF that like, I was like, they're not going to pick up on this shit. Yes, I've got it.
And?
Finally got it. It actually worked.
You got them.
I got them, but then again, it was still not as many as I would have wanted. And that's because of what you said. People just, they think they've seen it all and they go, I don't care. I can't be bothered to exit my screen and tap on another app. Else.
Even though they may sit there for another hour.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So the GIF kind of worked, but that's why you went to subliminal messaging, wasn't it? Over your videos.
YouTube.
Like a royalty-free like watermark in the background.
YouTube.
Yeah, I should have done that on all of my TikToks. YouTube. Georgia Productions on YouTube. During the back. Yeah. Georgia Productions on YouTube.
Where did that come from? Yeah.
Georgia Productions on YouTube.
Women at a pink concert.
YouTube.
Georgia Productions.
You know, I should have done that. It would just piss people off and they go, God, I've got to watch the actual version on YouTube now.
It's ruining the content.
Yeah. I mean, I get to YouTube, it's like, this is the videos that are on TikTok.
Yeah.
TikTok.
Epidemic sounds. Like, that's what it was giving.
Is there something else that you want to do? Like, you know,
yeah, what's next?
I'm really interested when you said you peaked earlier because I think you have a lot of talent. So that just seems bizarre to me that you would say that. And
so
obviously, you know, you have had success early and, you know, moving from YouTube to other platforms. Is there something even outside of the realm of social media or vlogging or?
I would really love to get into acting.
Yeah.
And I did drama at school. I loved it. But right. I did a 6-week course recently in acting and I really want to go back and do another one because it was so much fun. And I learned so much about like what acting really is and that like it's not just reading lines. It's like, oh my God, the whole table just moved.
You're so strong.
Sorry.
So powerful. Maybe powerlifting.
Maybe she's 7'8".
Yeah,
she's so strong.
Well, she had to lift that Mac. That's why she can move this fucking
table. Yeah, that's why I can move the table. Actually, it's bolted to the ground. I've just moved it myself.
Never that even happened.
So strong. So the acting realm, have you done, I mean, outside of, you know, the content you create, have you done any acting before?
No, I haven't done any kind of cameo acting, but I really want to start with that and I want to see where it goes. But like,
stage, screen, doesn't matter.
No, definitely screen.
Screen.
Stage freaks me out because I am someone who's like, I can't remember long monologues. Like I'll memorize like a paragraph.
Yeah.
And then I'll be like, okay. And then I'll have to look back at my notes to like, because that's how I've always done it with YouTube. Yeah. I didn't need to memorize everything. So yeah, definitely not stage, but I'd love to do something like that because yeah.
Does a writing interest you like to do something in that? As well, or the more the performance element of it?
More the performance because I am an attention whore.
Yes,
as we have. No, I think writing was like I'd love to get into writing, but I'd also love to be a part of like the performance as well.
Would
like,
you do more books?
I don't know. I think maybe it was a one and done situation, but I don't know.
Live shows? So we're just listing things
I've
now.
I've already done a few live shows.
Yeah, and how did you find the live shows?
I did two. I did one in 2018 and one in 2019. Oh, and then one last year.
Yeah.
One 2023.
Where were they at?
Her house for her parents.
Yeah.
She was asking for a sleepover. So can I go to my friend?
Actually, we made the Daredevils part two.
Yeah.
Oh, yes,
and
of course.
We screamed.
I wore all my underwear and I would jump on this trampoline.
And collect the Temple Run coins.
Yeah.
Get out! We're filming!
Get out of my house! Stop it! No, don't.
Also, have I told you what my dad said about the intestinal system? Yeah. Let me tell you, there is a joke there.
Oh, intestinal. I was like, what? Did you
intestines.
Just
intestines.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
intestines.
Just... You didn't pay attention in science,
I didn't.
Did you?
I was like, what?
What's
what
an intestinal?
That? Yeah, that's a new word. Add that one to the dictionary.
Ah,
I've never heard that before.
The live shows. How did you find those? Because, I mean, that's obviously, you know, in front of a live crowd.
I did it with my sister and co-host Grace Coe. She actually used to work on ABC3 as a presenter, and it was kind of more like a live, it was like a meet and greet, like an extended meet and greet. So it was kind of like a Q&A. There wasn't really any stand-up type thing involved, but it was more like an interactive thing with the audience. So we, you know, we'd get out a few people in the audience and we'd do like a 60-second makeover challenge, stuff like that, that just like kids loved it, you know. Yeah. It was a bit of fun. And then in 2019 that I did the live tours, and I haven't done that since. And then it was because COVID hit.
Of course.
And then it was kind of like everything just went really, really quiet for a bit. And then 2023, I did a podcast tour with my sister again for G Thanks. And that was like Spotify organized that. And that went really well too. And it was really interesting to see how much people had grown up, like, and how our audience had grown up.
Yeah.
They were older. And like we did the kind of the same kind of thing, but a little more mature. We had like, it was the same kind of extended meet and greet. I actually did do a tiny stand up segment because I wanted to like trial it and see how it goes. And I definitely learned a bit from that. Like, I learned that it's better when you just kind of go off the cuff and you relax a bit and you're not just reading this monologue in your head.
Yeah.
But yeah, I learned a lot from that. It was a really cool experience.
How was, so the stand-up side of things, would you ever dabble in doing a proper stand-up
thing? I have, and I've told no one about it.
Because until
it
now.
Was so shit!
Where was it at?
It was so bad, sorry.
Was it Newey? Was it a Newey? Where was
you
it?
You really want to know?
I want to know.
Yeah. You were like,
roll tape.
Yeah, yeah. You're like,
and we've got the crowd from that night here today.
Yeah.
Boo.
And we've got, you're like,
I want to ask Georgia. It's fucking shit.
You're like, I want to know where it is. I want to know where it is so I can go in and get the footage.
Yeah. No, I just watched it on TikTok.
It was at the Coogee Pav. Okay. And it was Coogee Pav.
Coogee? What
the fuck? Coogee?
Coogee Pav.
Coogee Pav.
Coogee Pav.
No wonder it bombed. Didn't even know where you were.
What, little Coogee? Okay, anyone from Coogee here tonight?
And then they all left. No, I did it. So my friend Will Gibb, I don't know if you know him.
Yeah, he's been on this podcast.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. He was nice enough to, like, I'd expressed to him how I kind of wanted to try it, give it a go. And he was like, oh, I'm doing a thing with some of my friends recently that are also first-timers and they really want to try stand-up. So he kind of hosted this first-timer stand-up thing, and everyone voted on the best person at the end of the night, and then all that money from the night went to the charity of that winner's choice.
Oh, great.
And it was really cool. It was a really cool experience. And I definitely, look, it just, oh, it just didn't.
Not for you. Yeah.
It was, I still haven't watched that video back because I'm like, I just don't. Like, it didn't go as well as I had hoped, but I still got quite a few laughs, like, at the parts where that I wanted. But then there was parts where I was like, fuck, this is funny. This is hilarious. Not a single laugh.
Crickets.
And I was like, oh. And then that would like hurt my ego. So then for the next bit, I was like trying to focus on what to say next, but I was thinking about the fact that no one laughed.
It's a confidence
so
thing,
it was like,
isn't it? Yeah.
It was really hard. It was so difficult. But I did it because I did it for the main reason that I just wanted to do something out of my comfort zone and just challenge myself. And I almost pulled out, but I was like, no, just do it. Like, it's not going to be amazing, but just do it for yourself.
How long were you up there for?
Only like 10 minutes. It was like a 10-minute segment.
Did it feel like forever?
A 10-minute set
it
is
did at the
time.
End.
That's a massive first set.
I told a story about, it was basically like a bit of a story time, and I realized that maybe people just lost interest. But it was a.
It's longer than 3 minutes.
it was longer than 3 minutes. A story time about how I got the worst food poisoning possible with oysters in Dubai.
Ooh, Dubai?
Dubai.
Dubai?
Dubai. Thanks to Coogee.
Yeah. Haven't you heard of it? Yeah, because, like, you know. Oof. I don't know why I thought that oysters were a good thing to order in Dubai. It's like, where the fuck are they getting oysters from?
Yeah, sand oysters.
Just on a camel's ball sack, freshly shackled. You know what I mean? Like, where
is
this?
Yeah,
I used that one.
That's good gear.
It was like, what did I say? I was like, because I was looking at the menu and I was like, where, like, oysters. Yeah, that seems like a great idea, like in the middle of Dubai, like in the middle of a fucking desert. And then, like, I didn't think once. Where are they coming from? Like, freshly shackled. Yeah, where? From a camel's ball sack. That was the joke.
That's good.
I thought that was great. And that
didn't
was great.
Land.
No, it did. That bit landed. And there was other bits that just didn't, that I was like, probably didn't explain that well enough. Like, just, yeah, there was a lot that I was like, this is harder than people think it is. Like, to paint a picture in someone's mind. Sometimes you don't paint it correctly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they could be like, hang on, I've lost you. What are you talking about?
Yeah,
but
yeah,
like, you know what you're talking about. Yeah.
What do you find funny? Is there a particular, you know, a content creator, or is there a comedian? Or
I love Elijah Schlesinger. I don't know. Okay.
Yeah.
I can't
yeah,
say
yeah.
Schlesinger. Elijah Schlesinger has been a huge, like, inspiration for me. I love her content. Her specials on Netflix, yeah, you should really check them out. They're just hilarious. Carl Barron also.
Oh, classic.
Love him.
Yeah, great. King.
I wet myself at his last stand-up comedy. It was just too funny.
Did you go and see it? The, what is it, ice skating rink for
flies?
Flies?
I think so. Yeah, I did. Yeah. And I, like, at the bottom of his when you bought a ticket, at the bottom of the screen, it said a little bit of wee guaranteed, and I was like, that's hilarious. I'm not going to wait. I think I did.
You got me, Carl. Well, yeah. Jimmy and I went and saw it with my old man, and he's unbelievable. Carl Barron is one of these people. I mean, we'd love to have him on this podcast.
He's the only person we follow on TikTok. Yeah, yeah. Is Carl Barron.
Really?
Yeah. We love him. I think the perfect thing about Carl is, you know, obviously he's just a funny person. Like, yeah, he'll be the first to meet. He's funny to look at. But the thing, you know, but I love
this is why we can't get him on the podcast. He's a fucking little funny person.
Funny to look at. The thing I love about him is,
he can't talk. He just sits there and you laugh at him.
But I think you mentioned it before with your when you did the stand up, and you know, it's better when you're feeling more comfortable. And I love when Carl comes out and all he does is talk about the venue. Like, the first 10 minutes when we watched him, he was just touching the side of the venue going,
really?
This feels nice, doesn't it? And everyone's losing their shit.
It's the way that he delivers it, yeah, too.
Yeah. Or the counting. Remember the counting gear that he does?
Oh, I remember it was chatting to Will Anderson. We were chatting to someone, and they were talking about when he was overseas, like in Montreal, and it's like even harder to tell comedy overseas because, you know, you lose a few of those like Australian things, like, you know, what we find funny. And he's like, Carl just was like looking at the venue and the crowd, and something had just happened, and he went out and just did stand up on that. So he was not prepped at all, and he just fucking killed it. And that's why he is arguably our greatest comedian in Australia, because he just fucking smashed it out of nothing.
Luke Kidgell is also been on this podcast. Yeah. Awesome, awesome guy. And he's really sweet too, like just so down to earth. And I think, yeah, he's an also like a massive inspiration of mine. Just like the way that he is, I like that he, and same with Carl Barron, same with Eliza. Like, I really like when comedians are like, they, you know, they tiptoe around the line, but they never cross it. And they're like, they know their place, and they know what they can say. They know what they can't say. They're not dickheads. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, I get that dry humor like appeals to some people, but essentially, like, I think it's harder to make content or make comedy witty when you don't offend people. It's harder to do that. And like, if they can do that and make it freaking hilarious, then like so can everyone. I don't know why do we have to offend people all the time? Like, no. why do we have to dive into that?
Yeah. Sorry about this podcast.
That's okay.
You suck.
What?
No, we've just been offensive.
The whole time.
Oh, okay. I didn't realise.
Yeah.
I didn't realise. Oh, so sorry. Yes. I'll need a full blown apology on YouTube.
We'll do it as a YouTube. I know we haven't posted in a while, but this is our apology.
Subscribe. Subscribe for full apology.
Look, George, we absolutely loved having you on the podcast.
Thank you.
I know we asked you earlier, and there's a few things we need from you at the end, but you know, at the start we asked you if you were born funny. You said no. Going through sort of, you know, a very quick version of your life, do you change that opinion? You still think you were?
Yeah, some people change, some people stick the same.
No, I still think I was, and I think it was a very, very slow process of trial and error and creating content and watching it back, watching my parents' reactions, getting feedback from friends and family, changing things. It was a long process. So no, I actually don't think I was born.
In all sincerity, Drew, I think you are phenomenal.
I think,
Jim, you mentioned it before, but I think your story and everything you've done and your commitment to, you know, creating such incredible content and then moving over from YouTube, I think you really are phenomenal.
And
I know a lot of people will be very excited to hear this, especially, you know, young creators and stuff. Is there anything that you would say to, you know, young, you know, kids coming through who want to try to get into this
game?
Don't do
it. Get out of YouTube.
Yeah, run.
Out of there.
It's on fire.
Get out of here. Don't you stand up.
Find yourself a Graham.
That is exactly what I would say. Find yourself a Graham and a light laptop. I would say that, or I would just say, just give it a go. And I know this sounds so cliche and everyone freaking says it, but you're going to get picked on if you're young and at school. You're going to get picked on. People love a bit of, like, they love when people are doing something different. Just know that they want a reaction out of you. So just keep doing what you're doing and just, like, fob it off if someone says, I watched your video on the weekend. Just be like, oh, thanks. Cheers. Yeah.
Thanks for the views.
Yeah, thanks for the views. Like, you earned me a cent or something. Yeah. I don't know. Just, like, something like that. I don't know, but if you're an adult and you want to get started too, it's like, just give it a go. And if you enjoy it, you enjoy it, you know? Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, look, there's only two more things we need. One of them is for you. Details. Pay us to be on this. It's very exclusive. Yeah, we've had Luke Kindrell and Will Gibb.
We make our guests
any the biggest stars here.
All right. Thank you. I'll get that invoice.
Send a producer, Jared. Do you have a joke? We'd love to hear a joke. Do you have a joke for us?
I remembered that in the car. I was in the car ride here. I was like, fuck. Like, I totally forgot about this.
Yeah.
You're eating oysters in Dubai.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's already done it.
I've already done it. But I don't know. I'm trying to.
Any kind of dad joke. Anything. A one-liner.
You could retell.
If you don't eat, you don't shit. And if you don't shit, you die.
Ladies and gentlemen.
If you don't eat, you don't shit. And if you don't shit, you die.
That, people went nuts in science for that. People went nuts.
And you know what? And that is exactly why I said that I was not born funny. Because I couldn't think of anything on the spot. You put me on the spot and I will fucking freeze. Yeah.
Well, no, one more on the spot.
I'm like, whoa! What? You want me to be funny?
We have one more. We've asked everyone this. And this video we'll post at the end of the year. We'll make a montage of everyone's responses. Now, some people have taken a while to answer this. They've tried to think about it. Some people have got very philosophical.
All right, give
some
me people three to be or four funny. Business days.
Okay.
Yeah, some people rip it off like a band-aid.
It's the joke that's been around since the age of time, the dawn, whatever. Why did the chicken why did the chicken cross the road?
To get to the other side.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No one said
no
that.
No one
yet.
Said that yet.
No one has
really?
Said that yet. No one has said
See,
that.
That's it's because it's not funny.
Your
I'm
word.
Just thinking logically, aren't I? I'm like, why? You know what? I reckon he probably just wanted to get to the other side.
Any reason? Did. Anything in particular? Like,
I reckon he had a relative get together that he was a bit late for. Or I think maybe
it's
I don't
a
know.
Barbecue on the other side. I'm late.
That's what really.
Well, he didn't know.
He was part of the barbecue.
He was part of the barbecue.
Yeah. Yeah.
Has anyone seen the chook crossing the road?
Has anyone seen Steve?
Oh, Melanie, that's a shame. She was really nice.
She was lovely. Georgia, thank you so much. We love you to be here. Welcome on this show whenever you want, but all the best in the future, and thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much. All the best for the future with you guys too.
You don't fucking mean it.
That was very formal from me, so I've never said
You've
that
never
before.
Signed up
all
that
the
before.
Best in the future.
All the best to you.
Thanks, Graham.
I hope TikTok doesn't go down the shitter as well.
You're fucked.
Yeah.
Come that over. Acting works out. Yeah.
Come over to radio, mate.
No, that's
not dying. Mate, it's not
dead.
Dying.
It's dead.
Next week I walk in like with my backpack.
Hey, guys. Listener.